Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Bam! Jason Waller here with Jason Waller Unleashed. That's right. The biggest, the baddest, the Slap Your Mama Twice podcast. It is top 30 in entertainment. I appreciate this. Listen, with entrepreneurship and business, I had two podcasts reach top five for several months on the Rector. And then now we have got a show hitting the charts on the top 30 for entertainment, which is a harder genre to be in. So I'm super excited about that. We are blowing it up. We are super excited. We're going to talk about this weekend. I was in Detroit with my son. We got to go to the Detroit Lions football game. It was amazing. I wish I could have brought my pops. He was stayed home because my mom was going to have surgery. Otherwise, it could have been a triple generation. My dad, me, and my son at the first playoff victory for the Detroit Lions at 32 years. Super jacked about what happened, how the game went on. I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to talk about stories, right? And the reasons why things happen and karma. And I want to talk about, you know, how you have to have hope, you have to have faith, and you have to have grit, and how you have to get through things. So that's what this episode is going to be about. We're going to start with moments and memories with my son, right? It's very important. My son is my youngest child. He's 13. And, you know, this week we're getting ready to go to Boca to celebrate and do a premiere with Amazon for our show, Bam Fam. And so we're super excited about that. And we want to find moments and memories to hang out. He is not a fan of the show. He hates it. He liked it at the beginning. Some kids bullied him at school. He hates the show. So it's hard to get him to film and do anything. I mean, it is hard. It sucks. Like, hey, he's like, I don't want to. Like, he's in his feelings. He's in his mood. Just things happen, right? But to take him to go see the Detroit Lions, like my dad and me and my son love the Detroit Lions. Like, I got a Detroit Lions tattoo on my arm. Used to have season tickets. Me and my dad used to go when my dad was broke. We would drive to Michigan from North Carolina. We would stay in a fucking motel, not a hotel. I'm talking motel, dirty, dirty doors on the outside. We'd have the cheapest, shittiest tickets in the Silver Dome. I mean, it was bad. And that's what we used to do, right? And it was fun, but it was just, you look back, you're like, damn, it was kind of gross and bad. But like, dude, that's, I wouldn't trade it for the world. You know, I fell in love with watching the Detroit Lions. I've been watching the Lions. I haven't missed a game, whether I watch it live on TV or I'm in person, since 1989 when Barry Sanders was drafted and his first game was against the Arizona Cardinals. That was the first time I watched the Detroit Lions, and I haven't missed one since. So we're talking 11, 35 years. I've been watching the Detroit Lions and haven't missed a fucking game. So I feel like I'm one of the biggest fans ever. And for those that know me, they know the Detroit Lions are everything to me. And listen, we have been through it all. Like, we had Barry Sanders, we had Calvin Johnson, two of the greatest players at the position ever. Fucking generational talent. Barry, and I know both those guys. So I grew up loving those guys, appreciating those guys, like fucking just looking them up as role models and totally fanboying both of those guys. To be able to do a podcast with both of those guys, do TV commercials with Barry Sanders, become friends with Barry, you know, hang out and be friends with Calvin, go to some of his charity events. My kid had Barry Sanders come to our home for his birthday party and coach his flag football team. Like, when we closed our company, Barry was in town talking to me and inspiring me and elevating and lifting me up. I mean, I am honored and blessed, you know, and these are two guys that I just, you know, were the biggest icons in Detroit sports, at least for the Detroit Lions. And I'm glad to call them my friends, but they didn't win anything, right? Barry won one playoff game. It was in 91. We beat Dallas and we got killed by Washington. So for us to have this, and my son, I was the same age, I was 13, when Detroit beat Dallas, and he was 13 now. And here we are flying to Detroit. We have a home playoff game for the first time in fucking 30 years. And we go to the game, and we had great seats. I'm going to be honest. Like, I put an arm and a leg out there. I paid top dollar. I didn't like it. I mean, you know, times aren't as great as they used to be. You know, in your rebuild mode, your coaching mode, and trying to build new business. I mean, I lost all this stuff, and I'm having to rebuild my companies and everything when Pink closed. So I'm not the same position I once was. I'm having to, you know, recapitulate, you know, redo, you know, pick myself up off the map. But I'm a big fan of moments and memories, man. And you can't put a price on that shit. So I got us front row seats, 40-yard line behind the Lions bench at the Detroit playoff game. And it was fucking rocking. The place was humming. And to see Stafford, and I was a big Stafford fan. Like, we drafted Stafford. I thought, oh my God, this guy's going to save our franchise. He gets injured one game, still throws a touchdown against the Browns. Those that watch football remember that. He's a badass. He's tough as nails, and he can whip the fucking ball. The downfall with Stafford, in my opinion, when he played for the Lions, was leadership skills. He wasn't the best leader. When Dominique Raiola was there, they had a lot of leadership in that locker room on the offense. When Dom left, Stafford, I think, struggled with that. And when he went to the Rams, I think it was a fresh start for him, and he has a coach that can kind of manipulate the play calling and do things, which I think is where Stafford flourishes. Play out a shotgun, lots of motions, and that's where he does well, and he crushed it there, and he won a Super Bowl. And this may be the most fair trade ever to go down because, you know, at first Goff looked like a throwaway. I didn't think so. I've always been a Goff fan. You know, Goff has been accurate. He's been smart, and he's a great leader. He's a little quiet and timid, but he's smart. He doesn't have the throwing ability of Stafford, but that's not needed in today's NFL. You know, Tom Brady didn't have Patrick Mahomes' throwing ability, but damn it, he's the best that ever lived. So you can be a great quarterback and not have the top talent in the world. As long as you got it up here and you know how to manage a game, you know how to manage your people. So Stafford going to the Rams and winning the Super Bowl is just heart-wrenching. Like, I was happy for him on one point, but I was also, like, disappointed. Like, fuck, why couldn't he do that with us? So here we are in year three with Goff, and we're having a fucking cruising this year. And me and my son were talking about, man, we'll make the playoffs, we're going to go. And we made the playoffs, and we go. And we're playing the Rams, and we're playing Stafford. And the fans are talking about, we're going to boo Stafford, we're going to ban his jerseys. You know, we're going to boo him because he's the other team. You boo the other team. And Detroit was good to Stafford. Detroit was good to him. Like, they paid him well. Everyone loved him for 12 years. He was there. Loved his family. They did all these things. Like, all this stuff. And the Staffords were pretty good to Detroit. And then they left. But then his wife gets a little involved. And gets upset that they try to ban this jersey thing in Detroit. Which is wrong. Like, if a city wants to do that, and these fans want to do it, Kelly Stafford, Matt Stafford's wife, should have been bigger and better than that to stoop down and sit there and argue with fans and sit there and have her own opinion on it and put it on a public standpoint and give this thing air. But she did. She's done that a lot in her life. You know, when it comes to Matthew Stafford, she's very vocal. He's not. He's been very, like, professional on press conferences until recently. I'll get to that in a minute. But created all this hype. You know, she made it a bigger problem. Had Stafford just come and she never said anything, I don't think he'd have been booed as much at all. And I think it wouldn't have been what it was. But she put air and oxygen on this flame, and it got bigger, and it became an issue to where when the Lions were hosting the Stafford, all the media is talking about Stafford this, Stafford that. They're not talking about Goff. They're like, and it's creating this bigger wedge where the fans are getting more upset with the Stafford situation, and they're getting more supportive of Goff. Here's what happens. Me and my son are at the game. We went with the Praters. Matt Prater's a good friend of mine. And, you know, he's friends with Stafford. And he was going to wear a Stafford jersey, changed his mind. He's like, nah, it's probably not the right thing to do. I'm going to support Detroit. He still loves Stafford, but he was going to support Detroit. And have I heard any of the news of 365? No, put it on there. I'd love to see it. That guy runs at Matt Steiner's douche. Sorry to switch subject. So anyways, I got a live going on Instagram while we're doing this. We then go to the game, and Stafford, now the fans are getting upset because Kelly's making a big deal, and then she's trying to get a suite. They're not giving her a suite. She's making another big deal. And Stafford's like, hey, I'm the bad guy coming to town. I get it. It's no big deal. So Stafford comes out and they boo him. His wife's walking around with the kids. Fans are booing her. Not his kids, her. And all these things, they're booing him. And he's not used to that. And he's kind of pissed. Like, what's he expect? I mean, his wife already made inflamed, threw oxygen on this flame. Goff came out there yelling, Jared Goff, Jared Goff. And giving Goff the support, the confidence, the love, the attention he needs because he was thrown away from the Rams. This is his moment. They want to build him up and put him on the pedestal because he's our guy. He's our quarterback. Me and my son are sitting front row for this. Like, we're all into it, right? We don't hate Stafford, but we're going to boo him. He's on the other team. But I'll tell you what happens. Game goes back and forth. Scary. Stafford's slanging the ball. Goff is slanging the ball. Detroit is running the ball. Our coach with his big brass balls is making calls that you're like, what? And then it works. Things are going great. And then Stafford gets hurt. And we're like, oh, shit. Is he okay? Then he comes back because he's tough as nails. Then he's driving down, and we think that they're going to kick a field goal and take the lead. And me and my son, we're all jacked up. We didn't even sleep the night before. We're all excited. Prater's family's all excited. Everybody's excited. Stadium's going nuts. They get a holding call. Now, there were bad calls all across the board. You know, I mean, they said there was a bad call on us for pass interference. There was a bad call where it was offsides. They called it false start, where we could have kicked field goal, scored a touchdown. They stopped a drive. Like, I don't want to hear this tit for tat shit. The game. That's what happened. So any of that other stuff, I don't want to hear. So they get a holding call. It goes back, and they have to punt. McVay, because the crowd was so loud that Stafford struggled getting plays off during the third quarter and fourth quarter, they burned two timeouts. They had one timeout left. Little over 4 minutes left. Detroit gets the ball. They got to get two first downs, take their time. The game could be over. They get the first down. Clock's running. Get to two-minute drill, second and nine. They waste their second timeout, their third timeout. We hit Amon-Ra St. Brown for the first down. Boom. Three times we down it. Game is over. People are crying. I mean, I had tears. I mean, it's tears of joy. It's 31 years of agony. It's this trade where we traded Matthew Stafford. He goes and wins a Super Bowl when he leaves us. It's all these things bundled up. It's Goff who's been thrown away, and now he's got the resilience comeback story. It's just so motivating and inspiring. And it reminds me, I'm telling my son, like, this is a moment we'll never forget, but this is a moment in life. This is a moment that when people think you have nothing, when people think you're worth nothing, when people treat you like you're nothing, you can still dictate the result. You can still dictate the outcome. You can still control your destiny. You can put the work in. You can fight back. You can believe in yourself. And eventually people will believe in you again, and you can get to where you want to go. And I use Jared Goff as that example. I use the Detroit Lions as that example. Back against the wall, thrown out. Same old Lions. Oh, Jared Goff can't do what Matthew Stafford does. Fuck that, dude. He beat him. He won. The team won, but he won. He led them down the field. He got them their first down. He was the leader on that team, beat his old coach who threw him away, and beat his arch nemesis who he was traded for and told that guy's better than you. Now, he's a kind guy, and he's not going to talk about it. But let me tell you something about confidence. Let me tell you something about insecurity. Let me tell you something about feeling like you're less than and not having people believe in you. I've been there. I lost my company. I've been there. People like look down at you. They all of a sudden say all this stuff. It's like, what the fuck? I'm the same person. I didn't do anything. Like, we did everything we were supposed to. I've been there. This story of the Detroit Lions and Jared Goff is their story. But my story is similar to that to me. Had this big company, things going great, and then all of a sudden company closes and throw me away, and I'm this piece of shit, and I'm this thing, and it's like, that's not even what happened. This is horrible. Horrible. I got people bullying my kids. I got people like, I can't put you on a stage right now. Things are bad. I mean, it was bad. What was I to do? I had to believe in myself. I had to get back on the horse. I had to try to ride again. And now I'm there and I'm riding again, and things are starting to tick off again, and people believe in me again, and, you know, I'm building a new company, and we're still fighting the fight against Generac and trying to get all these customers their money back by joining these class action lawsuits against them and holding them accountable as they should be, because they should have done a national recall. All these things that's happening, and it just, I feel like the Lions story and Jared Goff is similar to what I'm going through personally. So it touched me deeply. It made me feel like, you know what? there is light at the other side. Even when you feel depressed, insecure, kicked to the side, not wanted anymore, you can get through those things. The Jared Goff story is a perfect example of that. The Jason Waller story that's coming out in the Bam Fam is a perfect example of that. So I, you know, those moments just to be there I'm not a big crier. Like my wife always gives me shit. She's like, you never cry. I actually do cry. I am human. I cry. I just don't cry in front of people. I try not to, at least. I try to keep it inside and cry in the car or in the shower when I'm thinking I'm alone. And things bother me. But I had tears of relief and joy at that game, and my son could see it. And it was moving. It was inspiring to him. It humanized me to him, which I think is important. And so I think that, you know, being a tough guy is important, but being real is more important. And, you know, that's something that I'm learning to do more of, right? And you'll see in the Bam Fam, there's real tears. We have these deep conversations, these deep emotions. And I bring a lot of this Bam Fam up because we're getting ready to have a premiere. People are asking, when does the show come out? The show comes out later this year, right? There was some confusion that it airs and comes out on January 19th. That's not true. It premieres on January 19th with a preview of episode 1 for VIP exclusives in Boca Raton that were invited that are coming with Amazon and all the crew. This is nothing to do with that. They have to record 5 more episodes. So they've got 3 episodes done. So they have part 1 of season 1 done. They want to do 5 more episodes. So we're going to get part 2 of season 1 done. And they're going to be filming that this early spring. So late February into late March. And we are going to, actually it's March and April, so it'd be, yeah, they said early spring, so I would think March to April. And we are going to be filming that, and then they will edit and put everything together, and they will drop 8 episodes later on this year. It's streaming. It's not, you know, FX TV, where it's like, we come out September 11th on this date. Like, that's network television. This is streaming. You're at the mercy when you have a streaming show, they can just say shit comes out Friday and they drop it. So you know, this is something we're all like antsy. When's it come out? Well, we got 5 more episodes to record. Oh, okay, we gotta do season 2. We'll drop it all one time. So you can binge. It'll be Amazon Prime it comes out on later this year. You know, now that we have the preview and things getting approved, we'll start showing a little bit more teasers as we go through. We showed a little bit of teasers before, but we're super excited. I got to fly out tomorrow to Boca, and I got to go over the preview for the show, so I'm super excited about that. It's, you know, it'll be epic to have everybody there. A lot of my friends and family are coming up for that event, and then, you know, to be able... Is something behind you? Yes, that is my... that is an alien here. That is Zara. That is behind me. Zara comes from a different planet, obviously. And Zara's third cousin, second removed, is Zog, who's a gray alien over here across the hall next to the guest chair. So both of them are here. Zog is single and ready to mingle. Zara is married, and they do not identify as female or male. They identify as alien. Just to let you know, they don't have pronouns or any of that shit. It's just alien. They just go by alien. So, thanks for the sidekick there. Yes, that's Zara. And, I am super excited. So that was a great moment with my son for us to see that. I wish my pops was there. If we go to the Super Bowl, it'll be me, him, and my dad for sure. But that was just it was a moment he'll always remember. He was with his dad. First game in 30 years we won. You know, one of the biggest games we've ever had. Goff gets his redemption against the team. The comeback story is relived. It's kind of like Rocky. And it's just, we can tie it into our personal lives with what we're battling, going through. So it's super exciting. And, you know, we had that moment together. And to come back and buddy up. And you know, we're excited. We get to watch a game this weekend against the Bucks, and hopefully we beat the Bucks, and then hopefully Green Bay beats the Niners. And we have the Packers at home for an NFC Championship game, and then we go to the Super Bowl, and then we'll be there. So super exciting. I wanted to share that story with you guys on this. So this is one of 2 episodes that I'm getting ready to do. Appreciate you. I appreciate all the kind love here about me being the goat and solar. I appreciate that a lot. So listen, go be blessed, be loved, go out and crush it. For me, it's hump day. So I said it earlier, don't hump something you're not supposed to hump. It's hump day. That means get through the humps, okay? Don't be doing shit you ain't supposed to be doing. Stay focused, stay grinding, stay positive, and things will get better, and things will get to where you need to get to. Bam!